And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. We welcome you to our program this week. This program is dedicated for those that are new to our program. This program is dedicated to the many questions that people send in to our ministry, looking for answers as they study Bible prophecy. They send them in to us, and this is our way of trying to answer some of those questions. Now, let me remind you, we sometimes don't get to very many questions on our weekly program to give the answers, and so we have a lot of questions, and we're backlogged with questions as people are studying, and that does show that folks are busy studying God's Word, studying Bible prophecy, and that's encouraging to us. That's really what our ministry is all about. Prophecy Today was started after Mom and Dad went to Israel in 1991. They were living there as journalists in the land of Israel. Came back and started speaking. We started Prophecy Today ministry, looking at world events. And in fact, if you look at the top of our website, examining current events in the light of God's prophetic word. Every single day, we are scouring the internet, the news media outlets of the world, looking for stories, events that are taking place that pertain to Bible prophecy. And we would love for you to keep looking at our website, listening to the things that we have, and just looking at the front page of our website this week. Of course, we are celebrating the 64th birthday of Israel. We talk about its importance and its revival and the prophetic significance of Israel becoming a nation again and how that plays in and fits into Bible prophecy. We have special interviews where we take a look and try to keep you informed, the body of Christ informed, not only to world events that are taking place, but to spiritual matters that are taking place in our world today. Sometimes how people are trying to fit Bible prophecy into the world that they live in and not using the proper hermeneutical study of Bible prophecy and seeing where it relates. And again, we take the stance, we work on that, we show you how what's taking place using God's Word as our guideline. And I think that's a good guideline that you should use in any ministry, anybody that's out there that has a ministry of communicating events that are taking place, especially in prophecy, but in our everyday lives, just how that fits in to our lives. And we've been doing this for almost 40 years now. Dad started teaching Bible prophecy back in 1972-73. Started teaching Bible prophecy to young people, to young children. As a matter of fact, he was asked to teach the book of Revelation to 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11-year-olds. And I don't know if you've ever tried that, but in doing that, he had to come up with a simple way for people to understand, for these children to understand the book of Revelation. In so doing that, he has come up with a great way of teaching the book of Revelation in chronological order in a walkthrough that he has done so many places and so many churches and so many areas of the world, really, different countries of the world, where he's taught people the book of Revelation, Bible prophecy, using this simple walkthrough. You can see this walkthrough. A couple years ago, Dad and I produced a video for him entitled Revelation, a Walkthrough. We go to the Mount of Olives. He does the walkthrough on the Mount of Olives, and then we go through each section of that walkthrough as we go to different locations in Israel. And if you're really interested in seeing this, it's fantastic. You can learn it and teach it to your Sunday school classes, to your church, to your Bible studies, and people will be amazed at how simple you make Bible prophecy. You know, I was teaching the other week, and a lady came in and said, you know, you've made, this is the first time in almost 80 years of living that I've been able to understand Bible prophecy. You have made it so simple to understand. And that's really what it's all about. So we've been involved. I suggest if you're interested, go to our bookstore on our prophecytoday.com website. Go to the bookstore, look at a Revelation, a walkthrough, and take a look and get that, purchase it, and use it in your teaching process. With that video, you also get a workbook that you can download, use it for your own purposes, use it for the purposes of teaching others. So in 1972, Dad started this project, started teaching Bible prophecy, by developing a walkthrough, and since then, and we've been working. We both he and I went to New York City and started working in radio, Christian radio in New York City. Part of that of doing the Christian radio in New York City, one of the largest markets, if not the largest market in the world, we had the privilege and to do Jewish broadcasting. In the contract with the radio station, we were able to program 6 hours of Jewish programming in the evening. It was not Christian Jewish programming; it was Jewish programming to the Jews that were living in New York City, mostly to the religious community. Well, that opened up a lot of doors for us. It opened up a lot of doors with us in Israel. And that's where we first started, 1980, all during the 80s and the early 80s. In fact, I went to Israel, started producing a program with the former head of the government press office in Israel, Morty Dolinsky, who worked under Menachem Begin. I started producing a radio program with him that had to deal with directly with what was coming out of the Knesset cabinet meetings on Sunday, their first day of the week in Israel, and we would produce a program that would air back in New York City Sunday evening. So the Lord has put us almost really right on the front row of Bible prophecy, as in 1991, Mom and Dad went there as journalists 3 days before the Gulf War started and were there through all 37, 39 Scud attacks that took place in Israel against the Scuds that were shot from Iraq to Israel. And then over the years, we have been, the Lord has let us partner with organizations such as Day of Discovery Television, the John Ankerberg Network, of John Ankerberg Show, doing books, DVDs. You go to our website, you can see all the DVDs that we have. And if you're really interested in Israel, these are great DVDs, gives you background. We use Israel as a backdrop. I'm sure a lot of you have seen them. Our three or four of our latest DVDs that we have produced, starting Revelation, a walkthrough, Esau and the Palestinians, and then Ready to Rebuild, Revisited, are a couple of the ones that we have just finished, completed. Israel Under Fire with John Ankerberg is a great series. So go to our website, take a look at all of those. But the Lord has given us the opportunity. He's given Dad, and as a result, I have been working with him for almost 16 years now, and working in the Mideast, take care of all of our trips there, handle all the logistics of our trips in Israel, Bible teaching, co-teaching with Dad in Israel, doing a lot of prophecy conferences myself. And so we are both very busy. And I've been looking at our website. I will be leaving this weekend. I'll be leaving and going to the Adirondack Bible Church in Johnstown, New York, where I'll be holding a meeting, 5 days of, 5 days of meetings. And we'll be teaching there. From there, I leave, drive over to Central New York, to Obi, New York, where I'll be holding a conference there in Obi, New York. Dad is on his way to Branson, Missouri, where he's doing the Worldview Weekend Reunion and the family reunion. He's doing that in Branson with Brandon House. There will be a lot of speakers that will be there. You know, my next door neighbor, he's on his way now to Branson to be a part of that, the weekend family reunion with Brandon House that will take place there. Dad's one of the speakers. I know that there's going to be thousands of people there that will be a part of that. I think there's still time for you to get tickets or to be a part of that, to make your way there and join in with all of the teachers and people that will be there. Justin Peters, again, I remember I saw Justin back in when we went to the Worldview Weekend in Katy, Texas. Justin is a great guy, talks about the dangers facing the church today, and really just exposes a lot of prosperity gospel people that are, you know, I think as far as I'm concerned, they're preying on the weak. Praying, P-R-E-Y, he'll expose some of a lot of them. Mike Gendron, who is an expert on the Catholic Church, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Dr. David Nobel, and Dr. Jerry Vines. A lot of these speakers will be there. Special guest music by Marty Goetz, great soloist. And so let me encourage you, if you want to try to get to Branson this weekend, be a part of that, join in. And then coming up June 11th through the 15th here in San Antonio, Texas, we have our School of Prophets Prophecy Conference going on here. Dad will be teaching the Book of Revelation. Dave James will be teaching dispensationalism. And I'll be teaching on the four major trends of Bible prophecy. What are the four things Christians can keep their eyes on and that give us an indication as to where we are on these final, not days, I'd always tell people we're in the final minutes of before the Lord returns, before the rapture of the church takes place. What are those four major trends? And I'll be teaching on that. Join with us. You could bring your families, stay at, it's being held at the historic Menger Hotel in San Antonio, Texas. Go to our website, click on the link to the School of Prophets San Antonio Prophecy Conference, June 11th through the 15th. We would love for you to join with us. And, of course, on our website, you can also see some of the information pertaining to the trips that are coming up. I know that we have the Journeys of Paul cruise that's coming up. It includes Italy, Greece, Crete, and Turkey, October 19th through the 30th. That'll be a great trip. All of these, everything that we do in our ministry is geared towards teaching Bible prophecy. We also have our fall trip to Israel, Israel and Jordan. And you can take a look at Joshua Travel and figure out when those trips are going to take place. Our fall trip this year is October 10th through the 23rd. Great trip. It's already filling up. We're so very excited about our fall trip that we'll be taking this year. Join with us. But the Lord has given us this opportunity as we take a look at events that are happening and help keep the body of Christ alert and aware. We use Bible prophecy to motivate us to live holy lives in an unholy world. Increasingly every day. I don't know if you're like me, but as I listen to the news, as I find, and it's, sometimes it's very hard. You can get depressed. Listen to the news, and I think anybody that says, "Hey, you know, our world's getting better," it's not getting any better. If anything, we're increasingly spiraling downward. And this is a chance for you as you study Bible prophecy. We know what the end result is going to be. We know how it's going to take place. It's laid out in Bible prophecy using the books of prophecy, the four major books: Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, Revelation. And we use those books. We study them. We also use the minor prophets. There's so much to be learned and to use that in our lives. And as a result, we're very busy about the Lord's work, doing the things that we need to be doing. Well, we've got a couple questions that we want to get to. Carol Bowling sends in a question. And Carol says, "Do you believe the Antichrist is to be on the scene? I uncovered some information the night before all the tornadoes hit in North Carolina. She talks about a Muslim that was born on 7/21/77, secretively married to a Jewish. And let me just say about this about that. I do believe the Antichrist is on the scene. And here's the reason why I believe that. You know, I don't know when the rapture of the church is going to take place. It's an event that could happen at any moment. That's an imminent event. It's talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Revelation chapter 4. The aspect of the rapture of the church taking place at a moment's notice. First talked about in John chapter 14, where Jesus Christ is in the upper room with his disciples. And he's telling them, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And telling them not to be afraid, giving them last minute instructions, but telling them he's going to go prepare a place for us. And where he's going, the disciples could not go with him. But when he is ready, when he is finished, he will come back for all of us that are his followers, the bride of Christ. And once he left the Mount of Olives and the book of Acts, as he ascended into the heavenlies, the two men in white apparel said, told the disciples, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? As Christ has gone, so shall he come again someday." Well, for 2,000 years now, we've been waiting and watching. As the same as those disciples, as they left the Mount of Olives, they had one eye on the heavenlies and one eye on the job that they were given to do. And as they took the gospel message to the uttermost parts of the earth, that's what we have also been doing that, and that's what we're encouraged to do. But we do that, and looking at this imminent event to take place, we don't know when that's going to take place. And there's one other person or one other being that doesn't know when that will take place, and that would be Satan himself. Satan's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. So he has to be ready for the rapture to take place at any time. So when your question, Carol, says, do you believe the Antichrist to be on the scene? I do believe that a person that is qualified to be the Antichrist is on the scene. Satan has always had to have a person ready throughout history to be the Antichrist, because Satan understands and knows scriptures and knows what's going to take place in the end and so therefore he has the Antichrist on the scene. I don't believe that the person of the Antichrist knows who he is. I don't know that he knows that that's his role. And we have a lot of teachings, and we have a perfect candidate for a person that fits the exact prototype of what the Antichrist will be doing after the rapture of the church. Carol, your question also, you said your last question is, will he be a Muslim? I do not believe that he will be a Muslim. Go to Revelation chapter 13. The book of Daniel gives a lot of what the Antichrist is, who he is, what his names will be, what he's about. Revelation chapter 13 says that he is coming out of the sea. If you go there, you take a look at Revelation chapter 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Well, this is the Antichrist. And chapter 13 presents the most important personage of the end time, which will be the Antichrist coming out of the sea. And he has ten horns and seven heads with ten crowns on his horns depict the revived Roman Empire, which is also represented by the fourth beast of Daniel in the book of Daniel, which also had ten horns. In Revelation 13 and 17, the beast is the world ruler, whereas in Daniel chapter 7, the little horn on the beast was the world ruler. The fact that the beast comes out of the sea indicates that he is a Gentile from the sea of humanity. So that's the area where the Antichrist will come from. I do not believe that he'll come from the Muslim world. I believe Ezekiel gives us an indication of what's going to happen to the Islamic world. 5/6 of the Islamic world is going to be wiped out, Ezekiel 38 and 39. So I don't believe, Carol, that the Antichrist is a Muslim. I believe he will be a Gentile, and I do believe he's on the scene right now, waiting, as we all are. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, are waiting for the rapture of the church, for that sound to take place, that trumpet, as related to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so we're looking for that event to take place at any moment, and that's how we live our lives on a daily basis. Hope that helps you, Carol. I got just got an email coming in from, and this comes from Montreal, Canada, Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Lise, and I'm trying to remember Lise, my French from 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And your name looks like it's Lise Martin, L-I-S-E. So I'm taking that. I'm trying to use my best French to say your name, Lise Martin. She said, I just wanted to share with you a picture I took from my office window this morning of Jewish Montrealers in Quebec celebrating the 64th anniversary. And she sends us a picture. Maybe we will put that on our website. And it's a great picture from high up in the city of Montreal looking down on the Jews that live in Montreal that are celebrating the 64th anniversary of Israel. And then across the street are the protesters, the anti-Zionist protesters, and they're probably, I'm looking, there's probably, there are literally tens of thousands of Jews celebrating the 64th anniversary of Israel. There might be a handful, maybe at the most 25 or 30 people that are the anti-Zionist protesters across the street. Thank you, Lise, for that picture. That's a great picture. She says, I listen to your program regularly, having discovered it through listening to Worldview Weekend. I really appreciate that you have made your ministry available worldwide and in useful formats which we can download. I especially love the weekend update, which I burn on a CD and listen to in my car during the week. I get caught up and ready for the next round of events on God's calendar, which you graciously explain the following week. And let me just tell you, this week, Lise, Dad will be talking with Winky Midad. He'll be talking with Yoel Kieran about what's taking place in Israel. I know that you're going to look forward to this program, and you'll want to make copies of that and make copies to send to your friends. My dream is to go to Israel on one of your tours, God willing, before we go to meet him in the air. Question, I heard on one of your programs that your son, and that would be me, made a DVD featuring Petra. As I cannot go yet, I would nonetheless love to experience it, even if only on DVD. What is the name of the DVD? I'd like to order it. Well, Lise, I mentioned it earlier. I'd be glad to tell you. It's called Esau and the Palestinians. This was a program that we traced the lineage from Esau, who was Jacob's twin brother. We traced the lineage of Esau all the way to the Palestinians of today, and how that through history we see the Palestinians as they have come today, and how God is going to deal with them in the future and yet to come, referring to the book of Obadiah. So DVD that you're asking about is called Esau and the Palestinians. Another one of our DVD series that's a great DVD that explores Petra is the one called The Daniel Papers that we did with Day of Discovery, Mart Dehan and Dad. We went to Petra. That's a whole series in Petra. So either one of those two we encourage you to get. But if you're really interested in what's taking place, I would take a look at Esau and the Palestinians. Is a great DVD, and I like it. Dad, as we walk through the Sikh, we go into the city of Petra, we take a look around, Dad explores what's going to take place and why the Jews flee there, why we think that that's the area where the Jews will flee, but it's also shows us, helps us trace the lineage from Esau, who went to Edom, and then from there, we trace the lineage to the Palestinians of today. So I hope that helps you out, Lise. Thank you for the picture you sent in, and we'll try to get that up on our website so you can take a look at it. And thank you for your kind words as you talked about our ministry and what we're doing and making. And again, that's what we do. We want to make all of our teachings available to the body of Christ so that they can learn continually understanding, studying, and understanding what God's Word has to say in, about the world in which we live in today, and to prepare us for the rapture of the church. Carolyn Smythe sends in a question. She says, my sister asked me a question that I can't answer. Will there be babies born after the rapture? And if so, why would God put them through that? Well, that's a good question, Carolyn. As we understand what's going to take place in the tribulation period, starting from Revelation chapter 6 all the way to Revelation 17, 18, and 19, all the way to Revelation 19, that is those chapters in the book of Revelation unfold for us what's going to take place during the tribulation period. 7-year period of time, 21 judgments unleashed on the earth, designed specifically for those people that rejected Jesus Christ, and to prepare the Jewish people to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Well, that's going to be a terrible time on this earth. I think life will go on as normal. I don't see any indication that babies will not be born, that life will stop and go at a standstill, although we do see that there's going to be terrible judgment, and a large portion of the world's population is going to be wiped out during this period of time. I mean, there's going to be a lot of death during the tribulation period. As far as every indication that we get, there will be babies that are born. And the second half of your question, if so, why would God put them through that? Carolyn, that's a tough question, and I really don't know the answer to that question. We do know we have done many programs where we've talked about people have asked questions, and probably one of the most asked questions that we face is, will my children that die, will they go to heaven? Will they go to heaven at the rapture? What we do know is the age of accountability, and we get some of that, some discussion from that. We've talked about David would see his young son that he fathered with Bathsheba in heaven. So we do know that the age of accountability, at what point will that be? Will young children that are born, and should they die in this terrible judgments that are on the earth at that point in time, if they haven't reached or had a chance to accept Jesus Christ, will they have the same aspect of the age of accountability? I would think so. I mean, I don't think God would send little babies, and you know, if they're born, even if they're born right after the rapture takes place, they'll only be at the most 7 years of age by the time that Christ returns to the earth. So I do think that they will have an opportunity. We do know that 144,000 male virgin Jews will go about the world sharing the gospel message. All the whole world will hear the gospel message at that time, during the tribulation period. Those young children will have a chance to accept Christ as their personal Savior. But that's a tough question, Carolyn. I really don't know the answer to that question. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any answers from any prophecy teachers that give you a definitive answer on that. We just know that we have a gracious God, a loving God. You know, Carolyn, I'm reminded of one of the biggest travesties, and probably why God's blessing is not on America anymore, is because we allow so many babies to be aborted in our lifetime. I mean, on a yearly basis, we allow abortions to take place. And I know that those babies, by nothing of their doing, they don't even have a chance. Those babies are in heaven with Jesus. I do think that children that are born in the tribulation period, of course, they are probably going to be joining the saints, the tribulation saints, and because those children had never had a chance to reach the age of accountability, reach to the point where they could make a decision. So I think that we do serve a gracious God. We just have to keep that in mind and remember that, and that He has a plan for all those young children that don't have a chance Maybe they're born and immediately they're wiped out because of one of the 21 judgments that are unleashed on the earth take their life. I believe that they will be with the tribulation saints. Bob sends in a question. Bob says, how is the Antichrist going to use computers when no one will have any power due to nuclear war or due to asteroids or giant hailstones falling during the tribulation period? Well, Bob, that's a great question, and I'm thinking you're probably referring to the Antichrist using some sort of, and maybe you have heard that he's going to use some sort of computer-generated image when he sets up an image of himself in the temple. I am reminded of the fact that the Antichrist, one of the tools at the Antichrist's disposal will be that he uses signs, wonders, and miracles. Satan, in fact, that's how it talks about in Zechariah that all nations are drawn, all nations of the world will be gathered in Jerusalem. This is the beginning of a campaign of Armageddon. This is going to be a campaign that starts in Jerusalem and goes to the Jezreel Valley, but all nations of the world will be drawn to Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 to 16, it lists the satanic trinity, the Antichrist, and the false prophets, and that they will be using signs, wonders, and miracles to gather all the nations of the world into Jerusalem. And this is the beginning of the campaign of Armageddon. Satan has the ability to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. So I think if that's where your question is going as to why the Antichrist, how is he going to use computers, I don't necessarily think that he needs to use computers. But and you're right, with nuclear war that goes on, with asteroids that are falling to the earth, with the 21 judgments that are unleashed, they're going to be very hard-pressed. Life is going to change on this earth during the tribulation period. Zechariah chapter 14 talks about the nations of all the nations of the world gathering in Jerusalem. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And there's your satanic trinity. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So this is the indication that Satan is going to use signs, wonders, and miracles to draw the people, the nations of the world, to the city of Jerusalem. And that will then begin the battle, the campaign of Armageddon, which then goes to the Jezreel Valley. It starts in Jerusalem, goes to the Jezreel Valley, and ends up being the battle of Armageddon in the Valley of the Mountains, right there at Armageddon. Thank you, Bob, for that question. Janelle sends in a question, how will God provide for the Jewish people while they are living in the city of Petra? Well, Janelle, that's a great question, and I think there are precedents that have been set in the Old Testament where God has provided for the Jewish people. He provided for Elijah. He's provided for the children of Israel as they wandered through the desert for 40 years. There are many times where he's provided for them, and I think that that's how God will provide. He's going to provide the protection. We believe that Petra is that location where the Jews will go to flee from the Antichrist and Satan and the false prophet, the satanic trinity, as they try to wipe out the Jewish people. The remnant of the Jews that go there will be protected and provided for the 3.5 years that are there. And just as God provided the manna, as he provided food at different times, I think that he will provide and protect those that are there, the Jewish people that are there in the city of Petra, the 25 square miles of in the Red Rock Canyon of in the lower third of Jordan and the mountains of Edom. And I think that's how he will protect. I think that God will protect the Jews, not only physically, but he will provide for them and take care of them there. Thank you, Janelle, for that question. Kay Donnelly sends in a question. She says, when you spoke at, and this is a question to Dad, but I'll answer it for him. When you spoke at Calvary Baptist Church, I have three questions. You mentioned there will be animals in heaven as white horses are mentioned, and that we would all be riding white horses when Christ returns, but it doesn't mention that in Revelation. Well, okay, it does mention it in Revelation, Revelation chapter 19. And I can read down through a verse. Let's go to verse in chapter 19, verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Now that we know that this is Jesus Christ, as opposed to the man on a white horse in Revelation chapter 6, which was the Antichrist. And then we have a description of Jesus in Revelation 19, 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. This is verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. We could tell by what they're wearing, by their garments, that that is the body of Christ in our purified state, after we have been had the judgment seat of Christ in the heavenlies, the marriage of the bride of Christ and to Christ Himself, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then at this point, this is at the end of the tribulation period, where Christ is returning to fight the battle of Armageddon, and we are riding back with Jesus Christ on horses, dressed in our clothed in our fine linen and white apparel. The drama of this scene, is enhanced by the multitude of the armies of heaven, described as riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And the description of Christ in Christ's mouth was a sharp sword, which he would use to strike down the nations. And so this is all that takes place, this whole drama, the whole unfolding. And that's where it's mentioned that we will be riding white horses coming to the Battle of Armageddon. You mentioned miracles and Satan doing miracles and not God. Well, previously, a couple questions ago, I answered that Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet will use signs, wonders, and miracles as they draw the nations of the world to Jerusalem, as they show the nations of the world that they are in charge. And there are a lot of there is a proliferation of signs, wonders, and miracles today, only giving us evidence of the fact that we are getting closer to the event of the rapture, Satan preparing his man, the Antichrist, being ready to come on the scene to take control of a world that's in total chaos as the tribulation period begins. By the way, Antichrist, the tribulation period begins when the Antichrist confirms that peace treaty with Israel, allowing them to live at peace or a false peace for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The third question that you have, Kay, is on healing, and I understand that you said not to pray for people to be healed because that was hindering people going to heaven. And Kay, you have to understand, and I think, and I've heard Dad say this a lot of times, and I tend to agree with him, we are to pray that the Lord's will be done. That is the thing. Now, can the Lord heal? Yes, the Lord is God. He can do anything he wants to do. But there are times when God wants to take someone home for his purposes. We were put on this earth to glorify and honor God in all that we do. And everything that we do, I always tell people that we are just one small pixel. I don't know if you're familiar with how a television works, especially nowadays, but televisions, most of your flat screen TVs are designed with pixels. There are so many pixels on that flat screen. We are but just one small pixel in God's game plan and what he is trying to accomplish on this earth. He cares for each and every single one of us. And sometimes either God will take someone home just because it's natural that it's time for them to go home. And by doing that, he will be glorified in honor in all that is done. We can pray for people for sure. We can pray that they will have understanding, that God will take away their pain and suffering, or give them the ability to understand why this is happening in their lives. But in praying for people to be healed, I think the more proper prayer is that we pray that the Lord's will be done in our life and the people's lives that we're praying for. And if the Lord chooses to extend that person's life for his glory and honor, then he will do that. But if he decides to take them home, that's his decision, that's his plan that he has laid out and for that person. And in doing that, he will bring glory. It will bring glory and honor to God through that event that takes place in people's lives, in our lives, in our family lives. Does that make it any easier to suffer loss? No. God is there. He will provide that comfort. We can pray for comfort for families. We can pray for comfort for people that are going through those situations. But I do believe that we need to pray that the Lord's will be done in all situations. He knows what he wants to accomplish. He knows what he wants to do. And if we could tell God, you know, what to do, then he becomes our errand boy. And that is not really our purpose on this earth. Our purpose is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ and to give him all the glory and honor. Well, thank you, Kay, for that question. Hope that helps you out answering those questions. Folks, we thank you again for joining us this week on Prophecy Q&A. The questions are still coming in. Please be patient with us. We'll get to them. Pray for us this weekend. Dad will be in Branson, Missouri with Brandon House at the Worldview Family Reunion Weekend. I will be at the Adirondack Bible Church in Johnstown, New York, for a series of 5 meetings that are taking place there on Bible prophecy. I know the church is already excited and prepared for me to be there and reaching out to the community to invite people in using prophecy as it's supposed to be used, to motivate us to be about doing God's work, to evangelize, realizing that our time on this earth is increasingly being shortened by the events that are taking place, and we can see that by events that are happening in the world. There are no other prophecies left to be fulfilled. God is holding the gates of heaven open so that people can come to him. But at some point in time, he will decide that it's time for Jesus to go get his bride, and Christ will step to the edge of the heavenlies and shout, and the voice of an archangel and the trumpet will sound, and we will be caught up to be with him, as depicted in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Folks, we are looking forward to that time and that event taking place, and using that and knowing that we're getting closer to that event, we are to be about the Lord's business and telling others about Jesus Christ. He could have arranged the stars in the sky to spell "ye must be born again" or to give some sort of message to mankind. Instead, he chose us, and he gave us the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge and the know-how and the Holy Spirit to tell others about Jesus Christ, to witness to them, and knowing how close we are to the rapture of the church and ready. And besides that, rapture is an event that could happen at any moment, but before the rapture, people are not guaranteed another moment to live, and we have that responsibility to use prophecy to motivate us to not only to be prepared, but to be productive, understanding what's going to take place in the future. What happens to those folks that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior when they their life is taken away? If they have not made that commitment to him, they have not made a decision, they will spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire, the judgment that will come to them. Using all that we have talked about, using our websites as we preach, as we teach, we just ask that we be diligent, understanding, standing. I like what Daniel said. Daniel humbled himself before the Lord and prepared himself to study about the end times, about future events that were going to take place. That's what our desire should be. we should desire to humble ourselves before God and then to understand what's going to take place in the future so that we know how to live in today's world, in an unholy world. Well, until next week, we'll have Dad with us next week as we prepare and we do our prophecy Q&A. He'll be back with us on the air answering your questions as we take a look at all the questions that are coming in and we answer the questions on prophecy Q&A. Thank you for joining us this week, and we look forward to being with you again next week as we answer your questions that you have sent in right here on prophecy Q&A. And on behalf of Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, my father, this is Jimmy DeYoung Jr. saying, let's keep looking up until...